6 o'clock.
Oh, so I'm sitting down, so they do this. I get it. Thanks, Ham.
So what's your story with Brass Monkey? You think it's a horrible song?
I think the Beastie Boys are the worst band in the history of time.
Okay, now I'm going to disagree with you on that.
Okay.
But Brass Monkey is...
the biggest beating that
objectively
they
horrible.
I think they're... I don't understand... personally, I don't understand how people like the Beastie. Like that... like, there's certain stuff... like, I've told Donnie
like all
this.
Their stuff? Or
yeah.
Like,
I...
like, no, Sabotage?
You like that song?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sabotage.
I just don't get it. Like,
it's a great rock and roll song.
And it's interesting to me that people like it, because a lot of music that I don't like, I can see the, I can see why there's an appeal to it. I don't, on Beastie Boys, I don't get it at all. I don't see how anyone could think that that sounds good.
I won't fight you on this, but I...
now, their instrumentals, a couple people, when I've talked about this before, sent me some instrumentals
cool.
to listen to, and their instrumentals are good. So I get that part.
They became a funk band.
But, man, their voices, and they're just... they're,
I don't...
I'd rather eat throw up than listen to anything.
Throw up. I would just personally say that the older they got, I think the better they got. Like, To the Five Boroughs album.
Like, absolutely. Okay, so...
it's very good.
They matured. From where they were in the mid-'80s... as just a dumb party band, which they admit to being, that their progression, that they got just, lucky with a couple of hits, and then they progressed to being like Paul's Boutique.
License,
by the time the early 90s rolled around, things got different.
License to Ill is has its hits and misses. Like, No Sleep Till Brooklyn's great, but Fight for Your Right is garbage. And so,
thank you.
But they built it on the persona of being snot-nosed punks. I mean, that was their bit.
Right.
So what was the album that you said? Because I'll go back and because I'm
Paul's Boutique.
To the Five Boroughs is the one I really like.
Five Boroughs.
But it's
so
like,
that's one
it's
of the
like
last
2004.
Ones. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. You know.
Because I'm willing to try.
Thereafter.
Like somebody, Sean gave me a couple songs, I think, and I went and listened to it. And I gave it a try. I'm like, what am I missing?
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people think they're great.
I'll give you some.
I couldn't.
Do you like any hip-hop or rap?
No,
not really?
Not really,
okay.
No.
Well, then that makes more sense than anything.
Yeah.
No disrespect. But
no, which is fine.
Yeah.
No disrespect. But Donnie has given me a few, like we were talking about this last night, I think after you left, we did the five greatest hip-hop songs or whatever, and I'd never heard of most
like of ever?
Them. Well, for Donnie, like if he could only have five hip-hop songs to listen to ever again, those were his five.
Interesting.
So
I'd like to see his list.
A couple of them were
deep cuts.
But yeah. I could see like, okay, I get the beat. I understand why this is appealing. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
But I could get why you'd want to listen to it.
Right. No, there's no doubt.
All right. So just what happened over there? What's going on?
Okay, we have to so Matt was the only one in the kitchen. We're inside because the storm was coming earlier and the wind is still whipping so bad outside that we remained inside. And so I'm facing Bob. Bob is facing the
kitchen. I'm at like a kitchen table right now.
Yeah, and so in the kitchen was Matt. I can't see Matt. Bob saw him, and Bob was starting to tell a story.
He's up at the snack bar.
And Bob immediately stopped, and then he goes, "What's going on in there?" And... like, you couldn't go on, and then you described him as doing what? As the only one in the kitchen.
Matt's across the room, and seriously, nobody's in front of him. He's got, all he's got is cabinets and a stove. And behind him is what appears to be Mino, maybe sleeping on the couch. And I don't think anyone else is even in here. And so it's the four of us doing radio. Matt's way over where George is right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm the only person that's even looking at him. And I'm just out of the corner of my eye, I see Matt just both arms darting forward with double birds.
Yeah.
And it appears he is flipping off with both barrels the refrigerator for something it did to really offend him. And I probably should just let it go and let people have daydreams and so forth and act on them, but... Matt, I think this is the type of thing that I would be wanting to ask you about for the rest of my life, so let's just get it over with.
Okay, so
what was happening?
I was sitting over there just drinking a beer and texting with a buddy about the game tonight, and I don't know, we were going back and forth about some of the stuff we saw in game one, and he was like, what do you think about tonight? And I don't know, I just
He's in like, your head, you pictured avalanche skaters over by the fridge.
Yeah. Was like, well, I mean, you're like, having a text conversation.
Was Nathan McKinnon standing over there, or who's that? Who's the refrigerator?
This is the end
exercise.
Result. This is the end result of like 30 beers in 24 hours, where you are imagining hockey players in front of the fridge.
No, because the text was, what would, like, what's going to happen if they lose tonight?
Mm-hmm.
And I just was sitting there, and I didn't respond. I just was looking, and I look up, and I was like, you know, I was
just
like,
double
that's
bird.
What'll happen. You
yeah,
know?
You're going to flip off the guys.
So are you flipping off defeat, the concept of defeat tonight?
I was, all right. In my mind, I was picturing Avs players on the TV, and you
see?
Just flip them off.
You know? He was picturing players.
Yes. Like McKinnon and McCarr, they're just skating. Like,
you
oh,
hate
he scored,
them, right?
You know, like,
oh, look how happy they
how about
are.
This guy,
yeah, you can't handle this. Yeah, two
yeah.
of them,
yeah.
It's like a 13-year-old,
so, yeah, right?
Sometimes one bird doesn't get it
so
done.
So not only can McCarr and McKinnon not see what's happening when you do it to the TV, now you're doing it.
I think they can feel the energy
to your imagination.
To your imagination, they are in your head.
But
man.
If you did see Mikko Rantanen in the wild, you'd give him a piece of your mind.
I might. Yeah. I might say, man, sucks, huh?
Zach
now,
Parise.
How is the shampoo effect of 20 beers last night rolling into one right now? Does it come back pretty quickly?
Yeah.
I've
yeah.
lived that life.
Well,
man.
Yeah. Last night, that was special.
I've and lived then, that life.
Yeah. You know,
all right.
My wonderful wake-up call this morning.
Yeah, that was awesome. So. I look forward to that again. So speaking of last night,
awesome.
We did have – I was the butt of a joke that – a lot. You know, I complain a lot about working here, and it's unfair treatment sometimes toward me. And last night I think we fell into that boat once again. But Ski Vacation Corby turned out to be very, very funny.
When I was a kid, I would run and jump to get in bed. Because I was afraid the mean old clown was under my bed.
Yeah, dude.
And that horrified me for years.
So we saw my parents went on a ski trip, and they went out one night and left me, my sister, and like five friends in our whatever hotel room.
Yeah, your
together.
Lodge.
Our lodge.
With hot cocoa, right?
Yes.
Fireplace
same way,
going.
Same way everyone grows up.
Yeah. You're all wearing matching sweaters. You have to wear a jacket to dinner.
Yeah, footy pajamas right. All matching.
It was the chalet.
You guys, you could get anything
out of
the mini bar.
The showers.
Gosh. Corby, no one identifies
what?
With your childhood,
what do you mean?
Okay?
So,
you know when your parents leave you alone at a ski resort?
You guys know?
You know when you get a helicopter that takes you right to the top of the ski lift?
I can't believe they would leave us alone at the lodge like that.
I know.
I mean, they only I mean, let us get
amazing.
Only $50
I mean, we were 14
years old. I had a hard childhood.
So hot.
We didn't have our parents
we
with
were
us every night
yeah.
at the ski lodge.
You get the ladies' Patagonia.
We could order any movie we wanted on pay-per-view. I can't believe them. They're such good parents.
Can you imagine your parents not being there every night
at the ski lodge? That was such a difficult childhood.
Jesus.
I don't know the number for room service.
Aisha, let me tuck you in while I read you this story.
So we were like,
you mean we don't get turned down service?
Where am I? But we, again, it was like early days of HBO, which was in the ski lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that coming. I had that coming.
He grew up in a ski lodge.
Ski chalet, Corby. So the other thing that tickled me, which I don't think has been replayed today, was we took a phone call from a young lady who actually went to the same high school that George Dunham went to, and we all enthusiastically helped George sing his high school fight song.
That's not
what
you're
saying.
Very unique. Desiree is a beautiful name.
She's in
Desiree. Jeremy and Desiree.
Where'd you go to high school?
Okay. I actually went to Earl Turner.
Oh, hey! In Carrollton.
RLT.
That's where I live.
High upon a
maybe you live by me.
Hilltop stands our Turner High.
Hey, hey, hey!
What? We are ever loyal. We'll do our dive.
Okay.
Hair colors,
one margarita. Incredible.
That may have been the best song ever sung.
Good grief.
Layers of that. All right, Dave, let's do some community quick hits next.
We have a new team to root for.
Let's go.